1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The Supreme Court says it inadvertently and briefly posted on its website a document about a ruling over Idaho's ban on abortions. Although it's not final until officially released, the document, according to Bloomberg News, indicates the court would require Idaho to allow emergency access to abortions for now. Encounters along the southern border are down 40%, and 23,000 people have been returned to 40 countries in the 3 weeks since President Biden's order on new restrictions. That from Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas in Tucson, Arizona.
These actions are changing the calculus for those considering crossing our border. Still, as I will continue to make clear, they are no substitute for congressional action.
Immigration expected to be an issue in tomorrow's first presidential debate. The Atlanta Hawks get the first pick in tonight's NBA draft. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will hear Planned Parenthood's lawsuit that asks the court to declare that access to abortion is a right protected by the Wisconsin Constitution. WisPolitics reports anti-abortion groups will not be allowed to intervene, but they will be allowed to file a brief opposing the lawsuit. The first presidential debate is tomorrow night. Lynn Carey is a retired nurse in Germantown who's had a double lung transplant, but she says she's listening to hear what the candidates say about reproductive care.
We have all heard the stories of what happens when there is not access to appropriate care. The results we're seeing, the impact of the Dobbs decision must be addressed.
Civic Media's debate coverage starts tomorrow night at 7:30 on many of these stations. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Turning the Page is a drug use prevention program that works with schools and young people. Douglas Darby is one of its co-founders.
When we talk about changing the world, I'm talking about the 3 minutes it takes to walk from math class to science class. That's the world I want to change.
Darby says a drug use prevention program does not eradicate the need or the want for drugs as a way to escape, but it does offer students better coping mechanisms. Alicia Cockin is sentenced to 16 years in prison and 12 years of parole for shooting O'Connell Falls police officer Nicole Blaskowski with a gun removed from the officer's holster. Cockin originally pleaded not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect, otherwise known as the insanity plea, but dropped that plea and accepted a prison sentence for attempted first-degree homicide and disarming a police officer, among other charges. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
Another win for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the defending World Series champs, the Rangers, 3-1. Milwaukee's Joey Ortiz with a shot over the left field wall on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Ortiz, left field, warning track.
Asked Ortiz if the Rangers' Andrew Heaney tried to slip a fastball past him.
No, not necessarily. He had been flipping me breakers. I was kind of just aware of where I needed the ball to start to get that pitch to hit it well, and he threw it somewhere I could hit it and got to it.
The Brewers' Hobie Milner got his first start and was replaced by Bryce Wilson, who held the Rangers scoreless through six innings.
I mean, they shut us down. You know, they went with the opener, got a quick run. Things were looking good, but we just couldn't get two or three hits together. And that's what it takes to score a run, or you got to hit a home run, and you got to knock in some runs, and that was missing tonight.
That's the Rangers manager, Bruce Bochy. NBA draft tonight, the Bucks with the 23rd pick. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A dry, sunny, beautiful, and breezy day today with winds gusting up to 20 miles per hour out of the north, eliminating the humidity and keeping our highs in the mid-70s. With no rain in the forecast for tomorrow, too. Enjoy it. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was. When they moved the camera, whenever it's the red alert. That,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Peter Jest, author of the book We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. We'll also talk about a summer blockbuster with the help of the late comedian Richard Jenny.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I am joined this hour by one of the most reasonable men in politics, Tom Paulswitz, Navy veteran, former congressional candidate, and small business owner. Welcome back to the show, Tom. Always happy to have you.
Great to be here. I love the word reasonable because sometimes I feel like I need to be more unreasonable. So,
no, please, no. I wanted to give you an opportunity to weigh in here. We've been talking for the last hour with everybody listening about whether or not Julian Assange, is he a hero? Is he a villain? Is he both? How do we talk? How do we figure these difficult issues of government accountability, transparency, misdeeds by our intelligence apparatus or our military or the government? How do we approach this? How do we balance whistleblowers in the First Amendment? What's your take, Julian Assange, hero or villain?
Yeah, and I think the way I describe it, at least to myself, is he's both. And I think the hero part, the villain part is okay, he broke the law. He put people at risk. The hero part is left to history to figure out if releasing this information created the change that needs to happen. So this transparency continues to move forward. You know, it's a lot like the Pentagon Papers. It's just one of those things where it's important to understand we need this information out there, but the person doing it is probably going to have to break the law to do it.
Well, it's sort of baked into the concept of whistleblowing to a degree, right? That's why there are certain types of whistleblower protections. Interesting that you mentioned the Pentagon Papers. One of our most loyal and thoughtful callers also mentioned the Pentagon Papers. And, you know, there's some irony here, right? That we're talking about government accountability and transparency while, meanwhile, back at the Supreme Court, they're busy concluding that bribery of government officials is probably just fine. In case you missed the news, the Supreme Court on a 6-3 party line vote today ruled that state officials may accept, quote, gratuities from people who wish to reward them for their official actions, despite a federal anti-corruption statute that appears to ban such rewards. Justice Brett Kavanaugh wrote the opinion in the case Snyder versus the United States for the court's Republican-appointed majority. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson wrote for the dissent on behalf of the court's 3 Democratic and female appointees. Snyder turns on a distinction between bribes and gratuities. Kavanaugh writes, quote, bribes are payments made or agreed to before an official act in order to influence the official with respect to that future act, end quote. Gratuities, by contrast, quote, are typically payments made to an official after an official act as a token of appreciation, end quote. Does the man not know what quid pro quo means or tit for tat? I mean, I'm losing my mind.
Yeah, this is a Saturday Night Live skit. I think the only thing Kavanaugh didn't put in his his wording was, you know, if the payment is created with a wink, therefore it's just fine. And there's probably no nefarious reasons for wanting to give this money.
Yeah. Like, is it a big wink? Is it a little wink? Was there no wink, but just an understanding? Did they talk about it like a year ago and then just execute? Or was there just nothing said, like the mafia? And so it's totally fine because it's a gratuity. Here's one of the lines that I just cannot believe that he wrote. Quote, federal law does not supplement state and local rules by subjecting 19 million state and local officials up to 10 years in federal prison for accepting even commonplace gratuities. Rather, federal law leaves it to state and local governments to regulate gratuities to state and local officials. So I just want to point this out. I worked in government for a really long time. We don't get tips for doing our job. That's our salary. You're not supposed to get a gratuity for doing what you've been hired to do on behalf of taxpayers and residents of the governmental jurisdiction for which you work. What the hell is Brett Kavanaugh talking about?
It's mind-boggling. And I think the other part that's mind-boggling about this is they continue to push it back to the states have the complete authority on this. And this is just another one of those rulings where you question, like, and I think even the dissent was,
yes,
there were lots of exclamation points, if I remember correctly. Like, are
yes,
you
untyped exclamation points, all caps. Yes.
Yes.
Here, I have a couple of other observations. First of all, the fact that it was written by Brett Kavanaugh is really interesting. So, I guess I'm not one little bit surprised that the Supreme Court, in declaring that bribery of government officials is just fine with the federal government, didn't have the two federal officials that have been bribed write the opinion. And I mean, Justices Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas. Yeah, it probably wouldn't look good to have the guys getting bribed write an opinion saying bribery is just fine.
Correct.
I mean, the audacity here. The facts in the case are interesting, and I think eyebrow raising to even any Joe Blow or Jane Doe on the street. They are these. James Snyder, a former mayor who accepted a $13,000, quote, gratuity from a truck company. He was given the gratuity after the city purchased 5 trash trucks from that company for $1.1 million.
Right.
I mean, you know what's going to end up happening? It will be the expectation, as opposed to a crime, that federal officials, not just federal officials, state and local governmental officials, when we award a contract, we expect you to give us stuff. And if you don't, I bet you'll probably not get rated so well in the next go-round of requests for proposals. This is snowballing corruption. And I recognize that Justice Kavanaugh on the conservative wing is saying local and state governments can prevent these things. But the message that this sends about government and government accountability is just disgusting.
Well, I think this is all part of the continued erosion of norms.
Yes.
And finding places where we shouldn't have to create laws, but now we do.
Yep.
Because we're not going to follow the norms. You know, but I'm interested to know, would they be okay? Like, did that $13,000 go to the mayor, or did it go into the mayor's fiscal budget to be used for the citizens of the town?
Oh, no. It went into his pocket.
Exactly. Right. So you have to wonder, okay, what does the mayor have to do with the actual awarding if there wasn't some reason behind it? Because this is, I mean, at any other place, this would be called a kickback.
Of course. I mean, does Brett Kavanaugh know what kickback even means? This is just completely bananas.
Right.
And again, this was the federal government creating a criminal statute about governmental corruption. The statute at issue prohibits state officials from, quote, corruptly accepting anything of value from any person intending to be influenced or rewarded for an official act.
Counsel,
it's a weird hill for the Supreme Court to die on, too, isn't it? It's like,
well,
I got a question though,
like, because there are all these other rulings that have to happen in the next couple of days. Is this just to throw out some stuff for people to get so angry about that when the rulings that matter come out.
Well, I'm going to be really angry about those too, Tom. I mean,
what? But I mean, you know, because I've been thinking about this, like the presidential immunity ruling, you know, I think if it was going to go to the way towards the way of democracy, probably would have came out already.
Well, obviously, I mean, yes. I made the call on the day of the oral arguments. You're going to have all of the men. I think you're going to get Amy Coney Barrett, surprisingly, will join with the three liberal justices. Yep. All of the men are going to find some sort of official acts immunity. One has to then step back and say, okay, let me get this straight. You can bribe an official.
Yes.
And the president is going to have some kind of official acts immunity. So is it completely fine to bribe the president of the United States? And then according to Donald Trump, if someone whistleblows on that alleged bribery, it's going to be fine to execute that person for treason. And we'll just revert back to the official acts immunity because he did it in what he claims was the national. It seems like there's a Latin phrase, reductio ad absurdum. Like when you reduce these things down to their most basic, the absurdity of them is plain.
Yes.
I feel that here. Justice Jackson in the dissent, as you mentioned, Tom, I think there is just barely concealed, thinly veiled rage. Justice Jackson writes this. Everyone knows what a reward is. It is a $20 bill pulled from a lost wallet at the time of its return to its grateful owner. A surprise ice cream outing after a report card with straight A's. The bar tab picked up by a supervisor celebrating a job well done by her team. A reward often says thanks, thank you, or good job rather than please. She argues that the statute should be read to prohibit, quote, rewards corruptly accepted by government officials in ways that are functionally indistinguishable from taking a bribe. How about this? Quote, Snyder's absurd and atextual reading of the statute is one only today's court could love.
Yes.
Wow. The court's reasoning elevates non-existent federalism concerns over the plain text of the statute and is a quintessential example of the tail wagging the dog.
That was my favorite line.
Yes. Officials who use their public positions for private gain threaten the integrity of our most important institutions. Greed makes governments at every level less responsive, less efficient, and less trustworthy from the perspective of the communities they serve. Today's case involves one such person. Jack from Merrimack pointing out that federal law leaves it to the states. Haven't these justices ever heard of the Supremacy Clause? Cam from Nina texting in as well. This boils my blood. Ever since I turned 19, I worked for the government. I'm near 28 now. Why can the people who influence my pay increase their own compensation through crap like tips? Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
So only the top tier people get to take the bribes?
Oh, no, I'm sure that mayor shared it with his team.
Yeah, he took him out all for an ice cream outing for a job well done and getting that bribe secured. Thank you, Justice Kavanaugh.
We'll dig
in more, my guest, this half hour. One of the most reasonable men in politics, Tom Paulswitz, Navy veteran, small business owner, and former congressional candidate. I'm Maggie Dawn. You want to join us? 855-75-CIVIC. Don't go anywhere.
It is a textbook example of the kind of pay-to-play politics that the American people are tired of in Washington, D.C.
I drank beer with my friends.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WGBW.FM. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
Fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking about the decision from the six hacks on the Supreme Court that apparently bribing government officials is A-okay. I'm oversimplifying a bit. They're trying to distinguish between bribes and gratuities, but, you know, it's called pay-to-play, quid pro quo, tit-for-tat. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. It was written by Brett Kavanaugh. Of course, they had to pick the guy that wasn't the two Supreme Court justices that have actually received bribes from people that had cases before the court. That would have been, you know, perhaps just a bridge too far. But as Tom, you and I were discussing during the break, this is such an example, sort of like square peg, round hole. Like, oh, we want to get to this decision. So we're just going to make up stuff that sounds smart to justify it.
Yep. We want to continue down the path of allowing states to decide the most important things and get around the 14th Amendment. So each one of these is a slow erosion of that amendment.
Yeah. And it
boggles my mind that this is the path they want to go down.
It really is. And keep in mind, this same sort of tortured, stupid, bad result thinking has what this court is what this court has repeatedly relied upon to weaken or completely gut all manner of federal corruption type laws. This isn't the first time this has happened. I just find this really, really distasteful. And frankly, not just is it a ridiculous and isn't it, it's not just that Alito and Thomas have received bribes. You would have think maybe like a recusal here, given the public perception and lack of trust in the court and the nosedive that the Supreme Court's credibility has taken in the last 4 to 5 years. But of course they didn't. And I think Justice Jackson's dissent is particularly noteworthy, given what happened in the earlier dissent from Justice Sotomayor this week. She literally used the words Sotomayor admonished conservative colleagues in this case about whether or not a U.S. citizen has a fundamental liberty interest in their non-citizen spouse being admitted to the country, which, like, of course you do, because your liberty interest implicates the freedom or the right to marry. So right. If your spouse can't enter the country, you basically have been divorced by the state. Supreme Court analyst Joan Biskupic on CNN deemed Sotomayor's admonishment of the conservative wing of the court a, quote, warning shot. She also said this: there may have been a larger message of liberal frustration and despair that could reflect what the liberal justices know is coming in the cases soon to be announced.
Yes.
It could also reflect foreboding for the next set of issues that relate to same-sex marriage, in vitro fertilization, and other reproductive interests. This is exactly what you were pointing out, Tom.
Yeah, this slow erosion. You know, back to the gratuity, though, as I understand, the gratuity is still subject to income tax. So I'd be very curious to know if there were income taxes paid on the $13,000, you know, which is why, you know, I'm thinking about Clarence Thomas here, you know, not reporting all these gifts on his income tax returns. And maybe he's trying to push him into this government gratuity idea that maybe the IRS, you know, the Republicans will pass a law for the IRS to make these tax exempt, which would be fascinating, but not out of the realm.
Well, and perfectly in line with what this is. It's the old boy network, like on crack, right? Like just completely out of control that, oh, the the kickback, the pay to play, like that's fine. Just call it a gratuity and make sure it happens after the contract is awarded. Oh, what's that going to do to small businesses and regular people, the little guys? Well, that's going to make it much harder for them to be the ones that the elected officials know will give them the gratuity, right? It's going to make it harder, more expensive for small business owners to do business. It's going to, as we were pointing.
And it already is. But I think the fascinating thing now is that everything that was supposedly below board is now above board.
Right.
And it's like, and this has been the constant thing that the MAGAs have been pushing over and over again, is if it was not said in the open or not done in the open, now it's done in the open because, right, by the way, it's acceptable.
And just ask Brett Kavanaugh.
Because both parties do it. And this is the constant drumbeat of there's just corruption. There's a swamp. Everybody does it. Why not just admit it and make it above board?
Well, and that's the falsehood, right? I've talked about this so many times on the show, and thanks for bringing it up, Tom. My guest this half hour, Tom Paulswitz, most reasonable man in politics, former Navy veteran, former congressional candidate and small business owner. I've talked about this false equivalency, this narrative of, well, oh, they're all just rotten, is not true. Joe Biden wouldn't bribe or extort Australia. Like, that's not what Joe Biden would do. That's not what Democrats would do. Democrats have some sort of party enforcement when people do terrible, bad, vile, racist, and corrupt things. They're kicked out of the party. There's just no bottom when you look at the MAGA cult now and all of this acceptability of what any regular person, any little guy, any little gal would know is not right. Is, oh, well, they do it too, except not. That's not to say that there's never been a corrupt Democratic politician. Of course there has.
But they go to trial. Yeah. And then they're convicted. And then they have to go to jail, which is the way it should work.
Yes.
You know, but you saw this story yesterday, not to get too far off topic, but you saw this story yesterday about the 16 Nobel economists basically saying that fundamentally Donald Trump would drive this country over the edge with his economic plans, yet still 43% of Americans think that they would trust a Republican over a Democrat when it comes to the economy. And I just look at that, and the reasoning isn't there because the truth is hard to find. And so these rulings, everything that's going on right now is meant to throw as much in the air, to muddle and show that everybody does it. So why not be above board? But while you're above board, we're going to do it even more. And that's the way we're going to play.
It's interesting. You had mentioned, when we're talking about the bribery case, you had mentioned not only the tax law. I do want to give people a slice of hope here. The court didn't close the door on local governments themselves, local and state governments regulating this. So every single person that is listening to this show right now, you folks out there should be asking of every single local and state elected official that you know, what are your anti-corruption laws and how are they enforced in your jurisdiction? Yes. I can speak about Milwaukee County very briefly. We have an ethics code. It's chapter 9 of Milwaukee County's ordinances because I worked there for over 7 years. And one of the things that it requires is that anything of value given to you, notice I didn't even say by whom, anything of value over $25 or $50 in certain, it just circumstantially is different, you have to report it on your statement of economic interest. Now, I don't have to report, you know, my holiday presents from my dad, but basically any third party. Yeah, that's a good place to start with a little bit of sunshine. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back with Tom Paulswitz, most reasonable man in politics, here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Don't go anywhere, folks. Your farm update is next.
There was no quid pro quo
on many sides. On many sides.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
number of potential uses for artificial intelligence in agriculture is constantly growing. That's according to Austin O'Brien, an associate professor of computer science at Dakota State University in Madison, South Dakota. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report. And he says agriculture researchers have been collecting data for AI to use for over a decade now.
For AI to work, you need a lot of information, a lot of data in order to help create the AIs themselves. So that's kind of where we're, you know, kind of starting out with. And so just kind of collecting data, whether that's crop data from year to year, and then also collecting like image data, perhaps. So, you know, for our AI, some of the things that we'd like them to be able to do is identify plant disease, identifying weeds, pests, things like that. So we can take pictures of the different plants that we have. And so we're training our AIs to identify those different kinds of things. And then also kind of the soil samples themselves, kind of the makeup of the soil. And then that way we can do targeted spraying, things like that.
That was Austin O'Brien, associate professor of computer science at Dakota State University. He says using AI could create even greater accuracy for things such as meeting nutrition requirements in livestock feed rations or applying crop protection products in fields. I'll have a look at your closing markets right after this.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual Insurance is a proud sponsor of the Wisconsin State Fair. As a thank you for your support, they're giving away State Fair tickets. Visit ruralmutual.com/win and enter to win State Fair tickets.
Rural Mutual Insurance. Keeping Wisconsin strong. A voice for farmers. A vision for agriculture. Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
As a member, I have had the opportunity to grow personally and professionally through valuable programming, learning opportunities like Farm Bureau's Leadership Institute and Grassroots Policy Process have set me up to succeed both on and off the farm. Become a member by visiting WFBF.com.
A vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your dairy markets. Barrel cheese closed at 190. That was down a penny. 40-pound block cheese closed at 188. That was up 3/4. And the double A butter closed up 5 3/4 and closed at 309. July Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1953 a hundredweight. That is up 6 cents. And August Class 3 milk contract is trading at 2047 a hundredweight. And that is up 38 cents. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A dry, sunny, beautiful, and breezy day today with winds gusting up to 20 miles per hour out of the north, eliminating the humidity and keeping our highs in the mid-70s. With no rain in the forecast for tomorrow, too. Enjoy it. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
Hey Wisconsin, it's construction season and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511wi.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511wi.gov. That's 511wi.gov. And remember, know before you go, always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
It's Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to be here this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee. Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we get you ready for the presidential debate, Biden v. Trump. Everything you want to know right here. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. Hope you're having a great hump day Wednesday. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. My guest this hour, Tom Paulswitz, reasonable man in politics, Navy veteran, small business owner, and former congressional candidate. Got to give you all an update because, you know, I love my crew. It is 5-5 in the bottom of the ninth. They're playing Texas at home, one out with Bryce Terang at bat. Watch this space. We've been talking about the Supreme Court this afternoon and the ridiculous decision that just came out that basically says, bribery, governmental officials, we'll just call it a tip. I've never, ever, 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 not once, ever heard anyone that I know that has worked in government be like, yes, I expect tips for doing my taxpayer-funded job that I signed up for and volunteered to do. It's ludicrous. And we were trying to step back, zoom back a bit, Tom, and talk about this in the context of these cases that are about to come down. I don't think it would be an overstatement in any way, shape, or form to say that no Supreme Court term other than this 2023 to 24 term has had so many cases with the potential to transform American democracy as well as the day-to-day lives of people like you and I. These are the cases that remain to be decided for the Supreme Court terms. You know, whether presidents are kings and are immune from criminal prosecution for committing crimes while they are president, whether or not the January 6th insurrectionists can properly be charged with the crime of obstructing Congress, whether or not hospitals should be basically required to provide abortion care to save the life of the mother, restrictions on the homeless or the unhoused. In effect, some local jurisdictions have basically made it a crime to sleep in public. That's basically what it is, which is in a way criminalizing someone's status, right? Who you are as a person. I can't snap my fingers and transform myself from unhoused to living in a condo. So just for living and breathing and, you know, sleeping like a human being does, that could be a crime. They've got that case. They've got the opioid settlement, this multi-district class action settlement. Again, I was part of that case on behalf of Milwaukee County. That case coming out of bankruptcy court with Purdue Pharma. Watch that space. This is the sleeper case that most people probably haven't had on their radar unless you've listened to my show for a while. And it's the case on the Chevron doctrine, which is a legal doctrine that basically says when a federal agency or regulatory body exercises its expert discretion reasonably to fill in the gaps to rule, make, or enforce where the enacting legislation from Congress is not sufficiently specific, that reasonable exercise of expert discretion is entitled to deference, both by the courts and Congress. Yet that, by the courts, Congress can, of course, change the law if they don't like a regulatory agency's interpretation. That is everything, folks. That's the water you drink, the air you breathe, the land that you garden on, farm in, and recreate in. It is the thing, it's the system of government within the executive branch that protects every single one of us. The scope of administrative courts, those are the not Article III courts, they're administrative courts within the executive branch of government. They handle things like asylum appeals, immigration judges are administrative law judges, as well as cross-state air pollution. You know, we like to breathe clean air and stuff. Tom, how bad do you think this is going to get? And what do you think people should do if these decisions go in a way that they don't agree with?
Yeah, and to me, the common thread between everything is the idea that there has been federal overreach, and therefore there needs the power needs to be put back into either the local or the state or the congressional areas, and they're supposed to create laws that people follow, which, you know, and this is my question back to you, Maggie, as an attorney, is there a way to create a law or a series of laws to stop everybody from doing everything we don't want them to do? Or do we have some norms in society that we've agreed to follow and they're codified in ways that we've created? But this is a continuing erosion of those norms. It's a continuing erosion of the, you know, the federal protection of the environment, of you name it.
Right.
And it's just chipping away, chipping away, chipping it away, because they know in the current environment, no one's going to create these new laws to plug the gaps.
Of course. And the reason that this is such an important element of what I'm just going to call your health and welfare and mine, in other words, public health, safety and welfare, is that things like water pollution, air pollution, and other, you know, how are the food production system works, right? What happens is that these things aren't contained to the arbitrarily declared boundaries of states or local jurisdictions. Yes. Pollution leaches across, state lines.
Yes.
Air moves across state lines. Right. So there are certain things that simply don't make sense to leave to local and state governments. And many of them are the very things that the federal government tries to regulate to protect you and I, and again, our families' health, safety, and welfare. Listen, I'm an economist. Do I think there's too many regulations? Yeah. Do I think there probably should be some sort of agency whose job it is to call out outdated, outmoded, and stupid regulations, to assess the efficacy and taxpayer dollar efficiency of other regulations, to try to bring regulations under one single regulatory agency umbrella as opposed to 5, 6, 7, or 8? Yeah. Well, let's have that discussion, but let's not, you know, gut the entirety of the federal executive branch. Yeah.
And I would not agree with you that there are too many regulations. I think what we have is sometimes there's an overzealous reach of enforcement. Mm. And I think there needs to be a lot more guidance when it comes to here's a regulation and here are the parameters of enforcement. Because a lot of times it's left up to the individual and they can make people miserable however they want to at the local level. Because you've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. But those regulations are meant to be there for a reason. But back to this idea of what can people do about it. I think the biggest thing is you have to then focus all your energies on the local, the state, or your congressional levels to get these laws passed. Wasn't it an act of Congress that created the EPA and the FDA?
Yes.
And all that? So I don't understand what the Supreme Court is asking Congress to do again that they already have done. And so this to me is what the hard part that I'm trying to wrap my head around, like, what else do you want them to do? Because times change. But this is the idea that, you know, we're a constitutional government. It's like, no, that what was going on in 1788 is not what's going on today.
Well, yeah, they didn't have bump stocks when they wrote the Second Amendment, you big dummies. It's very frustrating. Listen, Tom, my thanks to you for your expert analysis and commentary. I can't wait to have you back in a couple of weeks. You can find Tom Paulsowitz every 2 weeks right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Navy veteran, former congressional candidate and small business owner, one of the most reasonable men in politics, every 2 weeks on the 3 o'clock hour right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks so much, Tom. I've got some other work that I've got to get done this afternoon because it is day 18 of Joe Biden's top 100. And this week's theme is healthcare. So it would be totally ridiculous to talk about Joe Biden and healthcare without talking about Obamacare and the ACA. Listen, whether or not you have needed to obtain insurance, health insurance, through the ACA, here's what we know now. There are more people insured that have health insurance today by millions and millions and millions than there were before the ACA was enacted. You cannot make a reasonable argument that more people with insurance is a bad outcome. You remember John McCain on the floor of Congress, the floor of the Senate, given the thumbs down? Yeah, he was the crucial vote, a Republican, in the vote that would have overturned Obamacare. It is now part of our healthcare system. We can talk about how broken the healthcare system is in the United States, but it is always better when more people can access preventative care and healthcare because they have meaningful insurance. Now, let's draw a contrast here. What did Donald Trump try to do when he was president? One, he tried to get the ACA overturned. Two, he tried to remove the tax penalty that exists for not having health insurance. This would have basically gutted and made completely ineffective the Affordable Care Act. And he did this a number of times. There was litigation brought. It eventually trickled up to the Supreme Court, not once, but twice. And according to the Department of Health and Human Services, during the Trump administration, because of various hurdles, frankly, his administration not trying to make it easier or more efficient for people to access health care through the ACA portals, guess how many millions of Americans lost health insurance under Donald Trump, Brian?
Several million?
Several million. 3.6 Americans lost health coverage. Shame on you, Donald Trump. Now, what did Joe Biden do? Under the American Rescue Plan Act, they temporarily expanded eligibility for premium tax credits to those not usually considered low income. In other words, people who weren't poor enough, right, to be considered low income, to earn healthcare tax credits, which basically lowers your tax burden. So Joe Biden made it cheaper and easier for low-income folks to access health insurance that brought their tax burden down. The size of these tax credits was also increased for low- and middle-income Americans. The American Rescue Plan Act also required that consumers eligible for these tax credits must have a choice on the ACA healthcare marketplace. So in other words, he tried to be sure that if you went on to the healthcare marketplace, you remember when it first came out, people would get really ticked off because once you put in all your information and the various qualifying factors, oftentimes there was only one health insurance plan that you could choose. Now, under Joe Biden, he mandated that there be choices for everyone. Brian. Something about healthcare and choice that seems to be a theme these days, doesn't it?
I feel like I've heard it mentioned a couple times. It seems like that's a thing. And perhaps also, I heard that competition actually is like part of this whole capitalism thing. It's just a thing that I heard. I mean, I'm picking up in school here and there. I'm just an actor. What do I know?
Well, apparently much. In addition, the American Rescue Plan Act required that the plan options include a limit that premiums could total no more than 8.5% of household income. Ah, that seems to make sense. So that paying for your health insurance wouldn't end up killing you because of the stress of paying for the health insurance. That's probably a good thing.
That's why, although probably doing an HSA is probably better for you in the long run, I laugh about that because in reality, what do you really? Okay.
Let's see here. In addition, the American Rescue Plan Act included subsidies aimed at disadvantaged communities that are statistically less to have health insurance. Boy, was this important as we tried to pull our country out of COVID, as the virus hit already disadvantaged communities far harder than others. I could go on, but we're going to take a breath. We're going to take a couple of really quick messages. It is the top of the 10th inning. Milwaukee and Texas still tied 5-5, two outs on Texas. I'll keep you updated on the crew. After these brief messages, I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is not normal.
Sometimes I had too many beers.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-496-2714. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-496-2714. That's 800-496-2714. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
I went to a party last Saturday night. I didn't get laid. I got in a fight. It ain't no big thing. Late for my job and the traffic.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. The crew in Texas still tied 5-5. Third out just locked in against Texas. The Brewers will be up next. Jake Bowers will be leading it off for the crew. Just want to give a shout out. I got a great text message in from Jack from Merrimack. Excuse me. Yes, Jack from Merrimack, recommending that we check out The Poison Squad by Deborah Blum if we want to think and read a little bit about what our food used to be like before the FDA and some of our food regulations were put into place. I also want to thank Cam from Nina for texting in. Cam works on those ACA healthcare marketplaces, as well as Tom in New Berlin, who's going to be seeing me in Madison tomorrow. What's Tom talking about? You can listen to the debate and listen to some of my pregame commentary with the Devil's Advocates live at the Barrymore Theater in Madison tomorrow. If that's not your bag, don't worry. Civic Media's got you covered. We're going to have our very own news director, Terry Bell, and host of the Todd Alba Show, Mr. Todd Alba himself, doing some pre-debate coverage that kicks off at 7:30 across the Civic Media Network. It's day 18 of Joe Biden's top 100. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act. One of the things, and I remember this happening because it was so critical when we were trying to figure out how to respond to COVID, is that Joe Biden expanded the special enrollment periods. Usually you need some sort of triggering event. You get married, you have a baby, whatever it is, to permit you to access the enrollment networks for the Affordable Care Act coverage, or it's during the normal enrollment period that comes up every fall. But in 2021, Joe Biden opened up enrollment to everyone all of the time because so many folks were losing health care as businesses were forced to lay people off. That was huge. That special enrollment period ran from February 15th to August 15th of 2021, and 2.8 million people signed up through coverage through healthcare.gov and these state-based marketplaces like the one Cam from Nina helps run in Minnesota. That is huge. So let's talk about what this has meant for healthcare access. 2022 combined enrollment from the open enrollment and special enrollment period was 21% higher than it was in 2021. That means 14.5 million Americans were covered through plans bought in 2022. And that wasn't just people switching plans or switching to marketplace plans. One in seven uninsured Americans gained coverage in 2022. That is Joe Biden doing good for you and your family. In real numbers, that's 5.8 million uninsured Americans gained coverage between 2021 and 2022. And in Wisconsin, that means 212,000 friends, family, and loved ones gained health insurance. This matters. That's saving lives and making people's lives better.
In addition to that, it makes it easier for people who, I don't know, have small businesses and can't afford to take care of everybody's health premiums all the time, or maybe are independently, you know, are independently employed.
And yes.
Those people now have access to health insurance. And oh my goodness, that frees up a small business to maybe become a large business and then offer a better health care plan. But my goodness, does that make it easier for other people to do their business?
Yeah, I think the small business part of this, Brian, is so, so very important. Thank you for emphasizing that. One of the biggest expenses for many businesses is their employees' health care. And so if you're what I'm going to call a micro small business owner, this can help you grow your business by allowing employees and or having an access point for employees to gain health insurance. Oh, and by the way, 2024 set the record for enrollment again. 21.3 million people signed up for coverage during open enrollment. That was up almost 5 million people from 2023. It's incredible, right? How big of an impact this has had on the lives and livelihood and health, of course, of Americans. It matters. Joe Biden's belief that healthcare is a human right, not just something to be reserved for the most wealthy among us, I think is a key differentiator between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. That's why your vote's going to matter this fall. Speaking of wealthiest Americans, Brian, do you know who was in town this past weekend?
A really wealthy American?
Yeah, Kim Kardashian was at the SZA show. I think that it was wild. I never thought I was going to see Kim Kardashian sashaying through the American Family Amphitheater on the Summerfest grounds.
Sure, why not? I mean, she's a person. She can go do that stuff. I mean, she's tried to do everything she can to make herself above other people, but I mean, sure, or different than other people, but great. Good for her. Go hang out, get a beer, get sweaty.
Yeah, kick it. She was right by the like audio bard at the amphitheater grounds. And by the way, I heard the SZA concert was just amazing, like one for the record books. I have a friend who's just a huge, huge fan, and they said it was the place to be, especially if you had missed Ludacris Ludacris at the Third Street Market Hall here in Milwaukee, which I'm a huge Luda fan. I mean, you want to get some pumped up music. It's Luda. We actually have some of the audio. He literally rolled through the Third Street Market Hall with like a boombox rapping. I loved it. Let's take a listen. This is Ludacris at the Third Street Market Hall this past week.
Hold up, man.
They all censored themselves, by the way. There were kids, parents, and everything. And they were in the middle of the food court. It was awesome.
Yep. It was so awesome. And you know who else has to boom, get out the way? Ha! The Texans. Brewers win it 6-5, the final from American Family Field. What a great game. I love a little Brewers squeaker in a hot afternoon. That's called Summertime in Milwaukee with Kim K, SZA, Luda, and the Brewers taking out the Texans. Well, we cover all the news, Brian. Equal opportunity news radio show. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Devil's Advocates are next.
Lucky, lucky, lucky little boy, because you know why? You get to drink from the fire hose!
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next Devil's Advocates. We got a whopper of a Wednesday edition with former Congressman Joe Walsh, Bill Press, our buddy, and Charles Franklin, New Marquette Polling.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
together in a debate of the issues important to you. Your first opportunity to hear from President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump is Thursday, June 27th.
Listen live on your local Civic Media radio station. Starting at 7:30 p.m., News Director Terry Bell, along with Todd Albaugh, host of The Todd Albaugh Show, will share insight on what's at stake.
The CNN Presidential Debate, live Thursday, June 27th. Coverage at 7:30, the debate at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.